The Holy Gospel for today comes from Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If you listen to you, then you guess what? You've won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others with you, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church, and if they refuse to listen, even to the church. Treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus said, I tell you, not seven, but 77 times. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You like cards? You like playing games? Well, we do. I do, especially in our family. Whether that's with the in-laws, family, wife, whatever, even with Zoe, whoever it is, we do love playing some games. Most of them. There are some that I don't really like to play, but we're not going to go down that road. But Uno is one of those games that I really do enjoy playing. And it's crazy how many versions of Uno are out there. Sometimes you forget the rules, isn't that right? Sometimes, maybe you've had this experience, when you're playing a game, that the rules are made up as you go. Maybe Uno gets changed, and maybe there's grace when you forget to say Uno, or maybe they sneak a certain card in your hand and make up what it is, or it's the blank card, or who knows what. But sometimes a beautiful, perfect game together can lead into a fight. It can lead into a major disagreement. It can lead into challenges. It can make you wish that you weren't playing that game anymore. And sometimes it's to the point where you don't play that game again for quite some time. Can't say that's ever happened between me or anybody in my family playing a game. Now, you know, that's not true. That's clearly happened. Sometimes there's plenty of times when we don't play that game anymore. We get tired to be called cheaters or how are you cheating? It's annoying. But in those card games, there's disagreement, fighting, challenges sometimes. Like I said, it's not always perfect. Can you think of anything else in life right now, in your life, that's anywhere remotely like that, where you have to win? You just have to win at any cost. Or the game can lead to you not wanting to talk to each other again for a while. Can lead to not playing that game again for a while. I'm sure you can think of something, and I'm not going to sit up here and list all the possibilities. I want you to find one of those things in your own life right now and think about it for a while. But then also think about, how does that affect the community when those things come up? How does it affect the family when you're all fighting and you don't want to play that game anymore? Kind of changes the dynamic of everything, doesn't it? It impacts it. And sometimes it can make it, even though Romans is talking about, you know what, love one another, it can make it hard to love one another. It can make it almost impossible to love one another. Right? But then we're reminded that we are all part of this same body. We're different parts, but we're all together. How does that impact it if one part, if your hand's fighting with your foot or something like that? How does that impact it? Well, it's sure not easy sometimes to love our neighbors. It's sometimes not easy even to forgive or even find our way to reconciliation, is it? It's a difficult thing, and Scripture today talks about that. It talks about listening to one another, going to one another when you're in times of disagreement. Maybe even learning from each other. Other people's different perspectives on what in the world is going on, even if we may never agree with them. Scripture does talk about some of that, and how each part, each one of us is different. How can we ever truly understand? How can we ever get to reconciliation? It sure can seem like a tall task when you think about it, when you think about it a lot, when you think about the challenges, when you think about today, when you think about listening to each other, or the challenges of learning from each other, or wondering if anybody's listening to you. It's a challenge. It's a challenge right now. It really is. Has that challenge ever been met with a promise at the end of it? Have you ever felt like, I can't do this alone? It's impossible to do alone. So don't even ask me to do it, because I can't talk to that person anymore. I can't understand. It's just not possible by myself. Well, that's very true, because I don't think it is possible by ourselves to do some of these things. But God reminds us in today's gospel lesson of this: where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. So in those challenging moments, those challenging times, we're not really doing this alone, even though it can feel like it. I am there. I'm there in your peaceful times. I'm in there in your not-so-peaceful times. But guess what? I am here. I am there. Always and forever. And loving one another maybe not be the emotional thing, perhaps, the emotion of love, but being willing to cross a line and to listen, to learn, to give somebody the opportunity to be heard. And who knows what could happen in that? May even lead to reconciliation. Our kickoff for Promised Land and for the fall year this year is called the Rocky Railway. Jesus' power to pull us through. And this first week's theme fits perfectly with this topic of how on earth can there ever be reconciliation? How can I ever have the power to go and talk to somebody else? How? But Jesus' power gives us strength to do hard things. It is impossible by ourselves. But with God, I don't think it is impossible. I don't think it is. Because Jesus' power gives us strength to do the hard things. The things that we never thought we'd be able to do. The Bible lesson for this week's Promised Land has to do with Ananias. And if you know anything about Ananias, and maybe or need a refresher about Ananias, Ananias was sent by God to Saul. Remember, Saul becomes Paul. So here's a little outline of how that story goes. Ananias is called and said, you know what? I need you, Ananias, to go to Saul. Why? Why would I go to Saul? Why on earth would I do that? Do you know who Saul is? I need you to go to Saul. Why would I do that? Saul's out there persecuting Christians. He's probably going to kill me. He's probably going to stone me. He might throw me in jail. I'm not going anywhere near that person. Why on earth would I go near them? I can't. I can't. There is no chance of reconciliation. There's no way I'm in this world I'm going to go to that person. It is too hard. You can't make me. And yet, where does Ananias go? Eventually he goes, but God reminds him that, Ananias, I need you to go there. I need you to remove the scales from Saul's eyes. I need you to remind him that, I guess what, I am sending him to the Gentiles, and that's not going to be easy to do, to bring this good news. He was just out there persecuting, and I need him to know that it isn't going to be easy. I never said it was going to be easy, but guess what? Jesus' power gives us strength to do the hard things. You can do this. Saul, who's going to become Paul, is going to be able to do this. And this message even applies to us, I think. That I'm giving you the strength to do the hard things. To meet with one another. To listen to one another. To be the one that hears people who just can't be heard. The one who goes into and does the hard things. And realizes that this is a symphony, that we're all singing different parts. If you've ever listened to a symphony before, you know that each part, the trombone, the trumpet, the strings, whatever it is, the percussion, by themselves, they sound kind of silly, don't they? But together, they make a beautiful sound. And sometimes, right now, it sounds like the instruments are all by themselves. Where can the reconciliation ever happen? Today was a small stepping stone, of course, with the confession that we did again this morning, confessing the things that we are wrong with us, but we're also then sent to go. And then there's usually the sharing of the peace where you can go and reconcile with somebody that you aren't agreeing with. Who knows if the person that sits next to you on a Sunday morning or had sat next to you on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday or whenever agrees with you 100%. Who knows if they have a story they need to share? Who knows if they need to be heard? Who knows if they're reaching out for reconciliation? Who knows if you're reaching out for reconciliation? And it can be hard. And even Peter goes so far as to say, how on earth am I supposed to do that? How many times do you want me to forgive somebody? Seven times? And Jesus says, well, not quite seven. I'm thinking 77 times. Okay. Wow. That's more than once. But it's not easy. None of this is easy. Reconciliation isn't easy. But Jesus' power gives us strength to do hard things. And with that, and hearing once again that where two or three are gathered, I'm with you. In the easy moments and the hard moments, I am there. And that is the hope that we can hold on to, a promise that we can hold on to for a future in which reconciliation may indeed be possible and is possible. It's not easy, but God calls us to all of this and promises, I'm going with you. It may not seem like it, but it's a work. It's a work together with God in love. And through that, there's hope. So grab that armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Clothe yourself with Christ. And know that Jesus' power gives you strength to do the hard things, whatever that looks like in your life. Because there are plenty of hard things in life right now, isn't there? Let's hear Psalm 119 one more time as we close for today and as we are reminded and sent out into this world. Hear these words again from Psalm 119. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so I may help you, may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from those worthless things and preserve my life according to your word, and fulfill it in your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread from your laws, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts, and your righteousness preserve my life. In you, O Lord, and you alone, teach me, give me understanding, direct me, turn my heart from towards you, away from selfish things, turn my eyes away from worthless things, fulfill your promise, take away the disgrace, and in your righteousness preserve my life. So as we go, remember that there is hope. Remember that God is with you, Christ is with you. You are clothed with Jesus each and every day. And you're never alone through all of this. Never said the road was going to be easy. Never said there wouldn't be hard things. But through all those moments, Jesus' power gives us strength to do hard things. So like we say in this week for Promised Land, whenever those things are uttered, those words of Jesus' power gives me strength to do hard things, there is a promise attached to that. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.